During my homily at the Ascension Parish,
I went south side last weekend. Kind of missed you. I said that I prefer Mark's gospel over the other gospels because Mark has an attention span about as short as mine. I can out-daydream anybody in this church right now. I've already daydreamed during this Mass, right during the homily. I'm figuring out what I'm going to say. Mark's gospel, remember, not just the shortest, not just the first, it is fast-paced. And that's what I like about it. We were here just 2 weeks ago listening to our Lord's inaugural address in verse 14. And then, after that, called a few fishermen. Verses 14 through 20, his opening speech, and he has followers. Last Sunday, remember, verse 21 on, he went to a synagogue to preach. Mark tells us that the people were amazed. We don't know what Jesus said. Mark doesn't have time to tell us. Because just then, conveniently, a man possessed by a demon walks in, and this man, possessed by a demon, knows who Jesus is. Remember, it is the demons who know who our Lord is and fear our Lord far more readily than human beings do in the Bible. Jesus tells him to be quiet, and he expels the demon. Jesus now can teach and amaze, and he can command and heal in the spiritual world. So today, since he's in St. Peter's hometown, he goes to St. Peter's house. St. Peter will be our Lord's successor, the first pope. He's married, and his mother-in-law is sick. So he cures Peter's mother-in-law, and then the whole town is gathered at the door. And the demons are there as well. Our Lord, the Bible says, does not permit them to speak. But then, despite everything going on, despite the fast pace of Mark's gospel, Mark never forgets to tell us how often Jesus will stop, he will go to a place, and he will pray. Verse 35, in the morning while it's dark, he got up, he went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Whenever our Lord would do that, he would foreshadow the Mass. Regardless of the pace of our lives, we come to this place to pray. Our Lord didn't just do it anywhere, but at a place where he prayed, as we come here to pray the most perfect prayer in the Holy Mass. So as your pastor, I'm back on the north side this weekend, where I belong. And this weekend, I'm at all the Masses because this past week, Bishop Kagan has announced that he will reestablish the holy obligation to attend Mass on Sunday and holy days. So this has been a busy week for me and my staff with much anticipation. And so for a moment, I'd like to show you how this will look beginning on February 20th and the 21st, the first Sunday of Lent. Probably by Ash Wednesday already, the spacing in our church, in all the churches in the diocese, will be eliminated. So our church will be back to the usual look of 11 months to go. There are some things that the bishop has allowed pastors to make a decision on. For example, funeral vigils and visitations before Mass are left to the pastor's discretion, yes, we will do them. Extraordinary ministers of the Eucharist are left to the pastor's discretion, yes, we will have them back. And they will practice what I practice, what the deacons practice, with hand sanitizing and the wearing of masks. Mass servers are at the discretion of the pastor, yes, we will have them. Our choirs will resume participation with the usual numbers. The holy water in our font will be filled. We're going to crank that up. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen water in there yet. And we will also have still our 5:30 p.m. Sunday mask required mass, as well as our mask rooms that we offer at 4 p.m. and during this mass at 10:45. You know, I was in the hospital making rounds again this week. Do you ever think back on the things we used to do? I mean, for 27 years, I was going from room to room without wearing a... You wonder what I caught? You wonder what I transmitted? I mean, I think I'm going to wear a mask in a hospital for a long time. I remember sitting by a guy during a transatlantic flight for 9.5 hours. He was in the middle seat coughing for 9.5 hours. Do you ever think about that stuff? Without a mask, we never thought of it. So if you want to wear a mask to be comfortable. And we will offer, as Jen said, two of our Ash Wednesday masses. They will be the 7 o'clock masses, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. will be the mask masses, as well as 5:30 on Sunday night. Things that will not change: there will be no face-to-face confessions. I'm fine with that. Personally, I prefer that. So if we do have penance services in town, and we as the five pastors need to decide what we're going to do, if we do have penance services, they will be allowed only with the use of screens. Fine, we can do that. Holy Communion will remain under just the species of the sacred host. We will not have the cup of the precious blood. We can live with that because the true, real, substantial presence is in each species, the body and the blood. It's the full communion. The sign of peace will remain suspended. I prefer that too. Some of you don't, but I think it's going to be a while, isn't it? I think it might be a while before we exchange the sign of peace. We'll live. And the offertory procession with gifts will also be suspended as it is now. Meals in the parish life are up to the discretion of the pastor. You know how we have our Lenten lunches. You know how we have our Friday fish fries. Not yet. I visited with my staff about it. The right thing to do with our meals right now is to hold off for a while, if not longer. Remember, as we gather here, this is our main meal, the Eucharist. And we'll revisit the meals as time goes on. So, my dear people, I ask that you keep three things in mind in the next few weeks. First, I do not make the policies. I do not make the decisions. I implement them. My staff does not decide this. My staff implement these decisions. They're just doing their job. I know in the 11 months that has passed, I know we all have an opinion on COVID-19, and we should. But just remember that we are all doing our job. My staff is just doing their job, and I might add that they do the job well. We will also continue our live streaming of the masses. This live streaming has been kind of perfected by us in the last 11 months. It will remain. The live streaming will remain an effective tool for us that will continue. As you come into the church once we're back, it will look like this. You remember the chairs, and it is beautiful. Corpus Christi is a beautiful place of worship, and we call it the church. But I want all of us to remember that the church means, the word church means gathering. The word church means assembly. You are the church when you are here. Coming together to worship is and has always been the identity of the followers of Jesus in the Catholic Church. Gathering, once again, to hear the word, gathering to receive the word, gathering to receive the Eucharist is our identity. And finally, I ask that you keep a heartfelt prayer for a few things in the next few weeks. First, we always remember those who have been affected in the last 11 months. We remember those who have died. We remember those who are still sick. We remember those whose employment has changed and circumstances will never return. We also remember and pray for our diocese as we transition. And we also remember, we have to remember, the other parishes in our country. I have priest friends across the United States, and many of my friends still have churches that are shuttered, like our parish was shuttered here in March. So we have a lot to be thankful for. Pray. Pray as we transition to come back, as we transition to come back as Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. Amen.